I'm back. First and foremost, you guys can follow on the Bible app. Can you hear me?
No.
Okay. You can follow along on the Bible app, but I got a question for you guys. Are any of you weirdos like me who like storms or like the rain? Wow, there's actually a lot more of you than I thought. Yeah, I don't even know why I really like it. I find it peaceful. I really just like taking naps while it's raining. Who doesn't like taking naps? But it's really kind of cool because Jesus, for some reason, kind of really likes storms as well. There's quite a few stories in the Bible that he uses storms as an example, or he uses storms for his ability to teach his disciples or teach the people that he's preaching to. And tonight we're going to be talking about another parable. As Jay said last week, that a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this parable, you guys have probably, in some capacity, have probably heard it before. You might not know what it's called, but you've probably heard something to this effect. But the parable is called The Wise Builder and the Foolish Builder. And you can find it in Matthew 7:24 through 29. And Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was talking to the people around him. And he said this, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes, it turns and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. See, now Jesus, when he's telling the story, he's not just talking to that group of people or just a certain group of people. He's talking to everyone. Like, this applies to everyone's life. And in his story, there's sort of two characters. There's the wise builder and the foolish builder. It's in the name. But we have to really think about that. We're either one of those two. We're either a wise builder or we're a foolish builder. And in this story, Jesus is giving a warning. He's giving us a warning. He's warning us that if we don't build our life on his teachings and build it on a bedrock instead of build it on this world and build it on sand, we have two options to choose from. If we don't build it on him, we'll have destruction. But if we do build it on him, we will have life. So he gives us the options to choose. So if we don't build our foundation on solid rock, which is him, we will have destruction. And if we do build it on him, we will have life. It says in Proverbs 10:25, "When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, and the godly have a lasting foundation." And what he means in this is that he doesn't necessarily mean that if you build your life on these worldly things, like the first time you sin or the first time you mess up, you're just going to be destroyed and you're going to die. Now, what he means when we're talking about life and destruction is if you build your life on the foundation of this world, you're living a life of destruction. Like, it's a long processed thing when it comes to eternity. If you're not following Jesus, then your destination is somewhere you don't want to go, and that place is hell. But if you build a life on him, you have life, just like he says he's the word of life. Like, you will have eternal life in heaven with him. That's what he means. He doesn't mean like, oh, because you build your life on me, you're going to have this amazing, extraordinary life when you become rich or you become really popular or anything like that. Like, he means you're going to have the fruit of life inside of you. And before we even like think about making the decisions, we got to ask ourselves, what are the storms in our lives? What really are we going to deal with? And why do we necessarily need to build a foundation on Jesus? Or why don't we? That's the question we got to ask. Well, what are the storms in our lives? And the storms in our lives are our trials and temptations. And these are two different things. It says in James 1, 12 through 15, and this is on the Bible app, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So our trials are the things that are from God. Like, they're not necessarily good and they're not necessarily bad. They're sort of the hardships in our lives that when we go through these testings, that God is testing our faith to see if we will rely on him, if we have a foundation built on him, so we can endure the temptations that come from our own sinful desires. I don't know how many of you ever have heard this, but I know a lot of people like to say, oh, God's just tempting me right now. Like, he's tempting me with this, and he's wanting me to do this, but I'm not going to do it. Well, like it says right there, God doesn't tempt you. Nothing evil comes from God. And his trials aren't evil. And they might seem bad to us because they're not exactly what we wanted in life. But they're essential for us. Because if we don't have those, we don't grow in our faith. Things aren't easy and hunky-dory in life. I would assume all of you guys could agree with me on that. Life's not easy. But we have to know the differences between those so we can really reconcile what's going on in our lives. So the differences between trials and temptations. Trials are from God. Temptations are from our own sinful desires. And with this parable, I wanted to really talk about another story that goes right along with it, and I think you guys will kind of see the parallels between the two. But this story is about the story when Jesus walks on water, and it actually happens to be while there's a storm. So it's in Matthew 14, 23 through 33. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. And meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. So Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Oh, you kind of see the parallels in between these stories. And you see it with Peter. He's in the storm. He's on this boat. He's in the storm. And he sees Jesus. And at first, he's got his eyes set on Jesus. And then he gets tempted with the distraction of the wind. He doesn't fully trust Jesus being right there in front of him. All he had to do was keep his eyes on him. That's all he had to do, was just keep his eyes on him and watch him. He was already walking on the water. But he had so little faith, and right then and there, his foundation wasn't fully built. So he started to drown. He fell right into the water. And it took Jesus for him to pick him back up and rebuild that foundation. So we, as believers, just like Peter, we have to choose how we respond to Jesus. And we have to kind of look at Peter and kind of think about that that being us. Am I the one that's drowning? Am I the one that would have little faith to trust Jesus, that I could walk on water with him in the middle of this storm? Do I have a strong enough foundation or a faith to trust Jesus like that? And when we come to that question, we have to take a step back and think about, how can we prepare for the storms? What must we do to prepare? Because we must prepare. And the first thing we got to think about is our attitude. That's the first thing we got to think about. And it says in James 1:2-8, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver for a person who is divided loyalty is an unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do." Now, I know it sounds sort of crazy, because a lot of the times the trials in our lives suck and they're not fun. But like James says here, we have to have joy in our trials. And I know that kind of sounds crazy, because we never really want to be happy with some of the bad things that go on in our lives. But we also have to understand that God has a plan. He has a plan for us. In that storm, you might not know what the answer to it is, or why it's happening, or the purpose to it, why you're in the middle of it. But I assure you, God has a plan. God has a purpose for it happening. I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations where I was like, man, I don't know why this is happening. Like, I don't even know what to say, God. Like, what do I do? And get through the storm, and you're like, that makes so much sense. Like, God has these plans and these ideas for you. And after our attitudes, if we kind of have this attitude of like, you know what? I know I'm going to go through some bad things at some point in time in my life, but I know God's got me. He's got a plan for this, and his glory is going to come out of it. We have to next go to building our foundation. And what Jesus tells us in the parable, in his first verse, it says, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock." See, when Jesus tells us to follow his teachings, he actually means to follow all of them. And he wants us to do all of them. He doesn't want us to just do half and half. It says in James 1:22, "But don't just listen to God's word, but do it. Do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." A lot of the times when we really want to build our life on Jesus is when things are going good, is when things are nice and dandy, and we really just are kind of in a selfish mode to Like, I just want to follow Jesus so I can make my life so much better. And yes, when you do follow Jesus, I'm not going to say your life's perfect because it's not going to be. You're going to go through trials. Life is life. We live in a sinful world. But you will have that hope that you'll spend eternity with Jesus and that God loves you. You do have that sense of hope. But that sense of hope shouldn't hide inside of us. Part of following Jesus and having a foundation rooted in him means we should have a heart like him. Following him doesn't mean our lives get great joy or it's joyful, but it's about sharing that heart that we have and that love for other people. And I'm going to share another story. I know we got a lot of stories in here. This one's really short, but it's in Matthew, and it's part of Jesus' teachings. He gets invited by Matthew, who is a disciple. He becomes a disciple. And Matthew used to be a tax collector, and he had tax collector friends. And he invites Jesus and his disciples for dinner. And he said, and it says in this, Matthew 9, 10 through 12, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." So I have some people, three people. I bet you guys have been wondering what these chairs have been here. If you can even see them, some of you guys are in the back row. But I have three people that I asked to be part of a demonstration. If they want to come up right now and sit in these seats, that would be good. Building a foundation on Jesus is not just what we can do for ourselves, but what we can do for others. And it tells us in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Part of growing your faith is sharing Christ with others. Part of building your foundation is sharing the gospel with people and inviting them to church and loving them. And you know what? These people, before you guys knew them, they were the sick people that Jesus talked about that he said needed healing. They were the ones that were drowning. They were the ones that didn't have a foundation built on Jesus. They had a foundation built in this world. And if it weren't for the next three people that I'm calling up right now, these people would still be sick. And those three people can come up right now because these three people built their lives on Jesus. They followed his teachings, and because of what they did, we are able to pronounce these people sick no longer. They're not drowning anymore. And that's exactly what you guys can do. He's gonna take off the mask. Because these people were bold enough to do it, like, think about it, guys. You might not even know some of these people that you love. You might not. You might never meet anyone. And I'm telling you right now, you can't make excuses, because you know how long it took for Jael to start coming to church? It took years. You know how long it took Julie? It took years. It took Mike Dean years. It's a never-ending process, and it's a part of building our foundation on Jesus. And that's something I want you guys to know. I want you guys to look around right now. Look around. There's empty chairs around here. And you know what? There's names on these chairs. God's put names on these chairs. He has a purpose for someone to sit in that chair and hear his good news. And you know who has the power to be able to bring people to church and to share the gospel with people? It's you guys. Is your life built on a foundation of Jesus? Because if you guys really care and love the people at your schools or in your family, your peers, then you won't let them drown. You won't let them be sick, because I'm going to tell you right now, just like we learned to dare to share, the people you see in the hallways or the people you see at family reunions, if you don't know that they're going to heaven, they have a stamp on their forehead that says they're bound for hell. And this is a serious thing. Like these three people right here, they were bound for hell. But the people behind them loved them enough to bring them here to share the love of Jesus with them. And you guys have the opportunity to do that each and every single day. So my connection point for the night is life comes from a foundation rooted in Jesus. Just like we talked about at the beginning of this talk, life isn't just our life on earth. It's our life in eternity. You guys have the opportunity to change people's eternity. And it's as simple as inviting them to church and starting the process of building your life on Jesus. Having a life built on Jesus is not just about getting through the storms, but it's about bringing others with you. So I want you guys to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. And I really want you to think about this. You looked around, you saw these chairs that were empty. And you think about it. God wants someone to sit in that chair. And he wants someone to hear the gospel. He wants to be with them. He wants to be with you. And maybe tonight you had never heard anything like this. Maybe tonight you didn't even know that you were sick or you were drowning or that the storms in life actually do have a meaning and there's a way to endure them and get through them. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you have the question of, I don't know 100% if I'm going to heaven. I don't know that. Well, let me tell you that there's a God that loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, who was perfect and lived a sinless life. And he died on the cross for you. And he rose 3 days later and defeated death for you. So God could justify our sins. Jesus' death covered your sins. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are or how messed up you think you are. There's a heavenly Father who loves you and wants to spend eternity with you. And you know what? I'm going to ask some of you to be brave while no one else is looking around, just you and me. Just you and me. If you don't know for 100% tonight, if you were to walk out those doors and you were to die, because we're not promised our next breath, we're not promised the next day. If you don't know for 100% that you're going to go to heaven and spend eternity, will you just look me in the eyes? And then some of you, maybe tonight, you have started to build your life on Jesus. And you know what? You're going through a storm and you just need someone to talk to. I challenge you tonight to find a leader and to talk to them, because we love you guys. And we want to help you guys, because we're not meant to do this alone. We're not. So as we end the night, just think about how you can start tonight building a foundation on Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you do, Lord. And I just pray tonight that, Lord, that someone comes to know you, Lord. If anyone in here doesn't know you, Lord, I pray someone comes to know you, Lord, because it's the greatest decision they can make in their lives, Lord. And I just pray as we leave tonight, Lord, that we take the steps to strengthen our foundation in you, Lord, because we know when those storms come, if our lives are built on you, yeah, we might get rained on. Yeah, the winds might blow us around a little bit, mess up our hair or whatever. But we know we will still be standing there and we will have life. Lord, so I just pray tonight that you will be with us and watch over us and take care of us, Lord. Lord, we praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.